Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi third quarter 2023 consolidated results presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group's third quarter 2023 results conference call. Today, together with me are Nicola Serafin, Group General Manager, Marco Cenci, Chief Strategy and Control Officer, Stefano Biella, CFO, Fabrizio Micheli, Director of M&A and IR, and Samuele Chiodetto, Investor Relator. We're extremely satisfied with the third quarter results, which confirmed and strengthened the signs of a normalization phase we have been observing across different aspects of our business performance since the beginning of the year. In terms of the top line, the third quarter delivered high single-digit organic growth, and despite some macroeconomic uncertainties, the group was able to achieve growth across the majority of the geographies in both coffee and cooking and food preparation in the last three months. With respect to margins, the profitability trend has shown a steady improvement in recent quarters compared to the previous year, thanks to the strict control of investments and a careful pricing strategy, as well as a recovery of logistic costs and an easing of pressure on remaining operating costs. The dynamics allow us to be optimistic about medium-term developments, also thanks to the renewed commitment to invest in communication with a new Perfetto and a NutriBullet It's That Simple campaigns, which have been launched in the recent weeks. This confidence is also backed up by the continuous introduction of the new products and solution designed to improve the customer experience and enable them to make responsible choices. Let me also mention sustainability among the critical enablers for De'Longhi, an aspect that is increasingly influencing our managerial decision and will be incorporated in the group's systemic approach. With the goal of further enhancing internal awareness on this topic, the group has initiated a learning journey for its employees, which kicked off yesterday with a lecture on sustainability held by Nobel Prize Professor Stiglitz. On the innovation topic, allow me to highlight the slides from four through six, where you can see the main product launched in 2023 for key categories. This is the result of a strong focus on investments in research and development, constantly working to enhance the quality, design, and usability. Among the others, let me just mention Rivelia, the first fully automatic coffee machine, included a bean switch system, allowing consumers to easily switch and explore different bean varieties. And La Specialista Arte Evo, with cold extraction technology, another step to enlarge our target audience addressing the cold brew drinkers. Now, let me focus on the quarterly results. Consolidated revenues for quarter three were up by 3.3%, reaching 707 million euros, with a significant negative impact of -4.8% from the currency components. In quarter three, all macro regions experienced a notable organic evolution, except MEIA. In particular, the European region exhibited growth at high single digits at constant exchange rates. This is a significant improvement, especially in light of the challenges which the region faced in 2022 due to the geopolitical crisis and decreased purchasing power of consumers. In more details, Southwest Europe showed an expansion in turnover of +7%, thanks to the increase in both core categories, which contributed to achieving double-digit performance in Germany, Austria, and the Iberia region. Northeast Europe accelerated versus the previous quarter, benefiting from significant growth in the U.K., Benelux, and the area of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary, supported both by recovery in the food preparation business and by continuation of coffee expansion in the area. The MEIA region was still in negative territory, mainly due to the macro context and the currency impact. In the Americas, turnover, which in the first 6 months had been affected by the discontinuity in mobile air conditioning, achieved an acceleration in the quarter, +13.8% organic, thanks to the contribution of coffee and the NutriBullet nutrition segment. Finally, the Asia-Pacific region showed an expansion in turnover of +2.5% at constant exchange rates, but with a significant negative currency impact in the main countries. In the area, both in the quarter and in the 9 months. As regards the evolution of the product segments, the core categories showed a progressive improvement over the course of the year, delivering a strong organic growth in the quarter. The coffee machines for household sector confirmed a positive expansion already seen in the second quarter, especially thanks to the constant enlargement of the fully automatic coffee market. As regards the Eversys professional coffee machine sector, we highlight another outstanding quarterly performance, keeping the weight of the segment on the group's total revenue to 5%. Food preparation is back to positive territory, achieving growth at a mid-teens rate at constant FX in the quarter, thanks to the strong expansion of the nutrition segment under the NutriBullet brand. In addition, the recovery of many of the product families, such as food processors, spin juicers, and fryers. Finally, the comfort segment remained in negative territory due to the postponement of the winter season in some relevant markets, while the home care achieved a double-digit growth thanks to a significant acceleration in the ironing category branded Braun. Looking now at the evolution of operating margins in the quarter, the net industrial margin improved by 49% of revenues from 46.7% in 2022, benefiting from the recovery of some production costs. We highlight that in the first 9 months, the price mix effect was positive by 30 million euros. Adjusted EBITDA amounted to 105 million or 14.9% of revenues, delivering a market improvement compared to 9.2% in the third quarter of 2022, and in continuity with the market improvement achieved in the first 6 months. The improvement in profitability was also partially supported by postponement of some investments in media and communication in the quarter due to the launch of the new campaigns in recent weeks. As to the balance sheet, net financial position as of 30 September 2023, stood at 326 million euros, and it had been significantly increased from 29 million euros reached last year. In particular, the free cash flow before dividends and acquisitions amounted to 14 million euros in the quarter, 99 million euros in the 9 months, and 369 million euros in the 12 months rolling. In particular, we would like to point out that in the 9 months, the group was able to generate 188 million euro of cash from current operations and working capital movements, compared to a completely opposite picture of last year, minus 159 million euro of absorption in the 9 months of 2022, representing another significant step towards gradual normalization. Now, as a conclusion to my results overview, let me remark that the group's excellent performance in the last few months supports and strengthens its prospects for post-pandemic normalization, with all key financial metrics, including growth, profitability, and cash flow, continually heading up in the right direction. Although the current macroeconomic and geopolitical backdrop remains characterized by uncertainty and variability, We are confident in the group's ability to overcome these challenges and capitalize on the growth potential offered by the coffee and NutriBullet nutrition segments. Having said that, in light of the dynamics of progressive recovery profitability, we look at the targets for the year with optimism. In particular, we are confirming the estimate of slightly decreasing revenues. We raised the guidance on adjusted EBITDA for the year, which we estimate now in the range of 420-440 million euros. Now, we can open the floor to Q&A. Thank you.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use handsets when asking questions. The first question is from Niccolò Storer of Kepler Cheuvreux.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question, and congratulations on the results. I'm focusing on slide 13 and 14, where you show the EBITDA bridge, and in particular on slide 13, with nearly 46 million in other costs saved. Can you please split the benefit you had from A&P and that you had from logistic cost? And looking at the 9 months, you have had 79 million improvement from lower cost. How should we think of this amount going forward? In Q4, you already talked about some postponement of A&P expenses. Should we expect this being balanced by further savings on logistics? And how should we think about 2024? Have you already reached a sort of stabilization in cost, or should we expect further saving flowing through the P&L? Thank you.
Regards to the bridge on the 9 months and trying to extrapolate what might happen in quarter four, we expect to have this is the 12 months, right? 9-2 bridge.
Just a while.
Sorry. In the next 3 months, no, I don't think so for the next 3 months, we expect to have a flat contribution from volumes, more or less. We continue to be positive on some mixed contribution. We expect to continue to have positive improvements in the industrial costs and as well on freight and logistic costs. At the same time, we might give back something in pricing because we got cost advantages, and the profitability will be under control. But we believe to maintain or improve potentially our market share, we might give back something, especially in critical promotional times. We're facing very important promotional weeks, and with the support of our advertising, reinforced advertising campaigns, we will try to also maximize the opportunity by offering strong financial opportunities to our customers. In terms of compared to last year, in the fourth quarter, advertising will be in line or slightly below in absolute value versus last year. Prospects for next year, I think, is a bit too early but I might anticipate that on the cost side, probably we have achieved in a year more than we might have expected originally. And for next year, we expect to have stabilization on the cost advantages that we are benefiting now.
Okay, thank you. Maybe a brief follow-up. You highlight a negative price mix in Q3. If you can comment on that, if it is price, if it is mix, or what it is. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I would say that I'm not sure about negative. Product mix, but I think we might have positive product mix, but we probably have negative price mix on the back of the promotional initiatives.
Thank you. And maybe if you can quantify the euro million you spent on A&P year to date, if you have the number at hand, thank you.
Okay, A&P, total A&P in the 9 months were around 240 million euro.
240, okay.
With advertising and promotional together.
Brilliant, thank you.
The next question is...
Comparing to 271 last year.
Me, sir. The next question is from Francesco Brilli of Intermonte.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations for the solid results. The first one is again on advertising and promotion costs. If you can expand a little bit on this, is this due to an overall reduction of investment or a phasing effect between quarters or just other initiatives that... I was just to understand if it's confirmed the previous indication of the incidence of A&P on sales flat in full year 23 versus last year. The second is on Forex. In light of the impacts on the 9 month, we can consider this level a reasonable impact also for the full year. And the last one is on cash position you have. You have a very, very strong position, positive net financial position, which is increasing quarter after quarter. Just in terms of capital allocation, what do you think could be the most likely option going forward? I'm thinking of M&A or potential share buyback or higher dividends. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you for the nice comments on the results. Thank you. On questions, E&P, I would say, yeah, we're going to have a lower level in the fourth quarter, as said. We will maintain a high share of voice. Actually, potentially, I think an increased share of voice as we see competitors are investing less in our core categories, while either we are spending a little bit less, we are more efficient, and we are gaining market share in the advertising space. Having said this, we think that in reality the reduction is some cutback in certain. Categories in particular with regard to food preparation, we cut back a bit. We are going to invest more behind NutriBullet for the quarter. We're going to invest more behind our fully automatic coffee maker. But the savings will come from efficiencies and some reduction, as said, in some uh, weaker categories as food preparation. I don't know, Nicole, if you had some color around it.
A couple of comments I don't on this. Definitely there is also a bit of effect of phasing, because you have seen, we have launched a new campaign renewing our cooperation with the global ambassador, and the new campaign has went live in France by last week of September, and in all the other countries, European countries, it was beginning of October. So this means that there is a bit of a translated effect between the two quarters. We are expecting the fourth quarter slightly below, in line, less slightly below last year. So the effect that you see in this quarter is in the third quarter is much significant than the one that we will have on the fourth quarter in terms of impact. And I would reiterate what Fabio has told, that it's not just an effect of expenses reduction, but it's also an optimization in allocation, as our current share of spending in the product segment is increasing across all the geographies.
Thank you, Nicola. With regard to FX, I think it's fair to consider a very similar effect of FX in the next quarter. And with regards to the question to the cash net cash position, we're very pleased with the cash generated by the business. I take the opportunity really to say that we have generated approximately 500 million euro in 12 months before investments and dividends. So very strong cash position. The company is back on track in that perspective, and the priority will be M&A. Of course, if we continue with this cash generation, and I don't see any reason why we should decelerate, usually the fourth quarter can generate between 150 and 200 million in cash. So I suspect that we can have a year-end cash position net close to 500 million euro positive. And again, as I said, this will put a lot of pressure on us on M&A, and but again, I don't want to add anything more than that. The company is working on that actively, and is our top priority. So buyback is not our priority as dividend, but is an acquisition.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Three questions from my side. First one is on upgrade of EBITDA guidance this year. Could you comment a bit on the main building blocks of the 50 million euros upgrade in guidance? So what's driving this? Second question is on current trading in the key fourth quarter, especially for food preparation, just to better understand if the sharp acceleration in the third quarter was somehow structural or related to transitional factors. Last question is on inventory. I see it touch above the usual increase in the third quarter, which is a bit strange considering the strong top-line trends you are experiencing. Is it related to some specific actions from your side to have enough products ahead of an important quarter? Which kind of expectations do you have for the full year?
Sorry, I'm not sure. The line was a bit disturbed on your last question. If you can rephrase it, please. Thank you.
What are you expecting from inventory, which was up quarter on quarter, even despite strong top line trends, so strong sellout from your side. So just wondering whether this was related to some specific actions on your side to have enough products ahead of an important quarter.
Yeah, I think that thank you, Isacco. Okay, the upgrade on guidance, I think is frankly is because the third quarter has already delivered most of the gap versus the previous guidance for the year end results. I think we have the strong, much stronger third quarter. We also have some positive signs in current trading. October was a good month. So we think that it's just a extrapolation of what we have been delivering in the previous months and what we are seeing in the month of October. Second question about the organic. The growth was at 8.8%. I think is probably in the higher part of our mid to long-term guidance. We think that this group can grow between 5 and 10%, so it is in the range. It is in the higher end of the range, but we say that the ambition, long-term ambition, is to grow above 5% to give a guidance for not necessarily for next year, but for the future. With regard to inventory, I think that last year was very critical at mid-year. I think the team has done a phenomenal job in already in the second half. This year is the inventory dynamics have been more in line with our say historical trends. I leave the word to Nicola. Maybe Nicola, if you want to comment on this.
To the question, if we have enough inventory ahead of a very important quarter, we are in this moment in a much more normalized level of output also from our supply chain. We have, as you know, we have a part of the supply chain coming from Asia that is already on water or on hand. But we have definitely full blast in this moment at the supply chain from Europe to support the coffee market in particular. So we do not see any risks in terms of inventory availability, and we are in the trajectory to have a good year end year level more or less on the space of last year. So we are confident to have the right level of supply in this moment and to end up with a healthy inventory by year end.
Okay, thanks both for your answers.
The next question comes from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita.
Hello everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one, actually, it's on the performance on food preparation that was above my expectations, probably also above your expectations in the third quarter with this kind of performance. So I would like to understand if this ramp up was how much was driven by, I would say, NutriBullet launch in Europe. So probably you can comment about specific numbers, but I would like to understand if it was a small, medium, or important support for the third quarter and what you are seeing in the market in the fourth quarter. My second question is instead about the premiumization that you are highlighting. It's something that is you consider more structural than temporary, and you are seeing the market in last quarter to see a market that is still prioritizing premium products, or so if you can clarify a little bit on these. And finally, my last quarter was we had positive financial income in the third quarter. You are close to 1 billion of liquidity. I would like to understand where you are investing this kind of cash, what is the return, and if you see that with this kind of balance, of course, excluding sizable M&A, you could deliver more positive financial income than negative financial income last quarter for the next year. Thank you.
Okay, food preparation. Well, is I think is of course a hot topic. I think coffee machines have been a strong element in our equity story, while food preparation it was a strong contributor to our growth, and then had a couple of at least of a gap year since the normalization or the post pandemic. I think that we feel positive about food preparation in the midterm, although we have experienced some negative sales in the short term in the past years. We think that partially is also due to the reshaping of our product portfolio. I think with NutriBullet now we are more exposed to new trends, the younger generations, a new way of making, cooking or preparing food at home. And very pleased about the NutriBullet results on the back of the positive numbers. We have reinforced our commitment to the brand. We have a new campaign has kicked off in the month of October in the United States. Will eventually roll out in other geographies soon. I think that we should continue to deliver growth. The growth was not just coming from the new markets, Europe, but also with solid, we deliver solid results for NutriBullet in North America. So we feel strong about, the portfolio. As a matter of fact, we're trying really to, also in our communication, to describe in a different way our portfolio in food preparation. I think I'd like to continue using the word nutrition. Nutrition is a strong word that will become more meaningful in the future in the way we behave, in the way we cook, in the way we eat, and our families behave. So, again, it's not just about NutriBullet. I think it's also about a recovery with our core products, notably kitchen machines. I think the gap versus last year or 2 years ago that was still very strong in the first month now is closing. So I'm more positive, and I think that we should continue to deliver better results for the year. And hopefully on the back of the success on nutrition next year to go back to growth again. Premiumization of products. Indeed, there is this trend is very visible for our coffee makers. I think that if consumers, they see a clear proposition, they see a clear benefit in products, they can pay more. This is in a nutshell, our philosophy around our coffee makers is around the bean-to-cup systems. I think that having the chance of buying the beans you want, the best beans, or your preferred coffee, using a bean-to-cup machine, which is simple, fast, and clean, is certainly a product which can easily convince consumers to trade up, and then you see premiumization. probably now is a bit more difficult for food preparation, the traditional food preparation, where consumers at the moment are a little bit reluctant to buy. But this is what we are also witnessing with the NutriBullet. Although NutriBullet has is an average price compared to the market, in reality is positioned at a far higher price than the most of the products, and we're seeing a strong trade up and NutriBullet is winning new customers both in North America and Europe. In terms of I think that some categories are witnessing trade up and premiumization, while I expect some other categories to continue to be a bit more competitive. In terms of cash, I can reiterate what I already commented on the cash generation. Acquisition is a priority. We're gonna sit on a pile of cash by year end. Acquisition is a priority, and as an alternative, we have dividends. We have already a policy for buybacks. Unfortunately, it's very regulated, in particular in Europe, and therefore it makes it very slow the buyback initiatives. However, as said, is priority continue to be the acquisition. I want to reiterate this: acquisition is our priority.
Okay, thank you. I was just asking about the return of your cash. I mean, in terms of yield, in terms of 1 billion of cash, you probably have more financial income than financial expenses. If this is correct to assume for the fourth quarter for the next year. And last question from my side about overseas, if you see reasonable to see this company to continue to grow also next year at a 20-30% growth rates, also thanks to new contracts. It's public that they won a contract with Starbucks.
The yield, yeah, we of course we can have some positive financial income, but again we are very conservative in our investment. We during COVID times we have we borrow money because we didn't know what to expect. I mean, we were potentially facing a major crisis, and what we were doing is we were investing in a very cautious way. We were not interested in making a high yield. Therefore, the incomes would be very limited. At the same time, sometimes the financial incomes can also, which would be positive from, the cash management, can also have negative signs, in particular with the currency hedging, which in some cases has delivered some negative. But in general, we don't comment on our financial incomes.
The next question, gentlemen, is from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Akros.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I hope you can hear me. Most of my questions have been answered, but I would like to have, some inputs on 2024, if that's possible. In particular, how do you see the pipeline and new products next year? Where are you investing? Is there more automatic coffee machines, professional cash machines, or any input that might help us? And the second one is related to the current situation of the Chinese yuan, which is devaluating materially, and in particular in China, there seems to be deflation right now going on, and if that might help on your next year gross margin, since most of your production is based in China. And also in general, maybe a comment on raw material, deflation, what's going on that front. Because for sure there is some deflation in raw material, but we know that this trend is a little bit sticky before having an impact, a material impact maybe in industrial companies. So if you can elaborate also on this point as far as next year prospects are concerned. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Andrea, for your question. So the first question is about the products, the new products. I think that we have a strong pipeline of innovation. We have recently held in Treviso an international meeting to introduce the new products, which will be available to the sales team for 2024. There's a lot of excitement around the innovation. Maybe Nicola, you want to comment on what are the key products, also including the launch of Legacy of Eversys.
We have definitely on coffee, and is not just on fully autos, but also in pump, a pipeline of products that will be in the launch phase now in some selected countries, but it will be rolled out in all the countries next year. Rivelia, that is the machine that has been launched in France and in Italy for the time being, will be available all over Europe, all over the world from beginning of 2024. On the other side, there is a Magnifica Plus, Evo Plus, that is available in Germany for the time being, that will be rolled out all over the world. So we have quite a significant range of novelties. We have Start Milk. So that is, and again, in the logic of premiumization that we are looking before, all these machines are going on the space of milk solution and beverages solution. That is definitely a range that has representing a trade up in our product mix. The cold brew version of the machine, also in the pump. In the pump machine, will be one of the key driver of new product for next year. And going in the space, this is for the domestic, the household space. On the professional space, Eversys will have the launch of Legacy, that is the third platform of machine for in the professional space. Beyond coffee, we have a lot of products ready in the space of food preparation. We will reinforce the offer in NutriBullet with cordless products, full-size and kitchen system blending, and also in the space of end blenders for brown and food processors for and kitchen, a new kitchen machine also for Kenwood. So let's say that it's quite a robust pipeline. If I can comment also on the currency, it's true that in this moment the renminbi is a bit of a tailwind. On the other side, I would comment that we do not have the major of our cost from China, but we are now a significant part of the cost that are Europe-based, because a large part of the supply is coming from Europe. So if this is favorable, the renminbi, we have plenty of unfavorable currencies from a market point of view, starting from Australian dollar, Japanese yen in particular, that is quite significant, and US dollars as well. About cost inflation, I can comment also on this. Cost inflation, the trend, we see the trend in terms of transportation and freight probably going to a plateau, because it's back to normalization. Material trends has a reduction, but is definitely, I would define this a slight reduction trend. On the other side, we have still pressure in terms of labor cost. So my best estimate for 2024 is that these two effects could offset in 2024 and give a flat compensated effect.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Luca Baccoccoli of Intesa San Paolo.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay, good. So my first question is on the advertising and promotion in the third quarter. So if you can quantify the phasing effect that you were mentioning. The second question regards NutriBullet. At the time of the acquisition, NutriBullet was approximately generating 200 million euros plus. So I was wondering what should we expect at the end of this year from NutriBullet, and what was the precise top line growth reported in the 9 months. And for next year, basically, if I understood correct, you expect the food preparation back to normal level, the coffee machine basically being growing also thanks to the strong pipeline that you just depicted. So it seems that the organic growth next year should at least the lower end of the 5 to 10% range that you were mentioning. So my question is, if this assumption is fair. And the final one is on OPEX evolution, if I'm correctly, basically the OPEX next year will expand in line with the top line. Is that a fair assumption? Thank you.
Luca, sorry. First of all, if you could rephrase the second question, which was a long question, and partially we couldn't hear very well the second part of it. Was about NutriBullet, about the growth rate of of Bullet, and also the expectation, the comparison with the 1 year ago, and then we lost a little bit the line and the connection.
Yeah, I hope that you can hear me better in this way. So on NutriBullet, my question is the top line that you expect this brand is going to reach by the end of this year. At the time of the acquisition, it was around 200 million euros. So what should we expect for this year? And what was the growth rate delivered in the first 9 months? I know that you are pretty shy on giving details for each brand, but I think it's going to be important. Is there some other question that should I rephrase?
No, that's it. So the first question is about the AMP and the postponement.
Yeah.
Nicola, you answered the first time, so if you want to...
I can complete. Definitely, what would have been planned in September, having the full campaign, it would be something in the range of 6-7 million that we put a bit on hold and bringing this to bring a boost to the campaign by October, November. So this is something that is a fair estimation of a different phasing between the third and the fourth quarter. I grab also the last question about the OPEX evolution that we can expect in 2024. Definitely, this was a year of attention in terms of OPEX because of the uncertainty and the volatility that we experienced from the very beginning of the year. we think that we can everything that is variable given the situation that we have now can be considered in line and can be linear with the top line. Definitely one of the area of attention that we have is definitely labor cost. We have, because we sense all over the world in all geographies to be under pressure in terms of cost of labor.
Yeah, second one about NutriBullet, we expect a growth rate for the year around 10%. Around 10%. Yes, it definitely the brand is growing fast. We're very pleased with the development. We have new launches which will take place next year. So we hope we can continue delivering growth with the newly acquired brand. Now, and the last question.
Okay.
About the OPEX. Yeah, Nicola has already answered, right?
Yeah, that's one missing on the next year top line growth. It's fair to assume at least a 5% growth organically.
For NutriBullet?
No, for the overall group I'm referring to.
The expectation for next year or for this year?
For next year.
Well, it's too early. I would like to really reiterate that the ambition for the group with normalization should be to grow above 5%. We feel strong about the coffee opportunity. We have some, events and which are, would be potentially affecting the growth rates in certain regions, like MEIA, for sure. But again, we think the potential for the group is to grow above 5%, and I think we will be working on the budget and finalizing the budget in the next days, and we will give you some guidance as soon as possible. But for the moment, I would stay more with our long-term perspective to grow above 5% without a clear guidance for 2024.
Okay, thank you.
DeLonghi, there are no more questions at this time, sir.
So thank you all for attending the DeLonghi third quarterly conference call. Thank you.